I have to follow that. Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of the most beautiful sports is racing. I love especially when I'm watching a race when they do it in slow motion, because you can see the beautiful form of the people. And they're very good about, they want to have perfect form in order to win the race. So you see these beautiful bodies. Nobody has an ounce of fat on them. That makes me a little jealous. But they run this race and it's so gorgeous. Marathons are not that way. A marathon, you really don't go in the race to win, because thousands of people go to marathons, and if you watch people in a marathon, they don't run prettily. They not all have perfect bodies, and some pass out and have to be carted away in an ambulance. And at the end, you see people wobbling over the finish line, and they are sweaty and gross and disgusting, and that's what the writer of Hebrews is talking about. And so I've entitled this Slogging to the Finish Line. You see, the Christian life is not a sprint. It's not a pretty race. It's not a race where you're going to come in first, second, and third. The whole purpose of the Christian life is a marathon, and sometimes it isn't pretty, but we slog to the finish line. And there's a reason that we're slogging for Jesus. The writer says that we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and he goes to mention several of these people, and many of us don't know about their stories. And he even said, well, time has gotten away from me, and I can't tell you their stories, but he throws out their names. And I want to tell the story of just one of these witnesses. His name is Barak. And he slogged to the finish line. Barak was a great general. And he was fearless, but he was not suicidal. And at the time that he was a general, the people who were tormenting his town and community were so frightful, and they were so outmanned and outgunned, as we would say, that Barak was not about to send an army in direct confrontation with the army that was tormenting them. Except that he did have a friend, and his friend's name was Deborah, and Deborah was a great prophet. And Deborah came up to him and said, Barak, God said, we're going to win. You've got to assemble the army. Now, Barak knew better than to say, I'm not doing it. But he was not about to do it alone. He didn't have that much faith. So he said, Deborah, I will do that on one condition. You come with me. And Deborah said, okay, that's fine. But then it's going to be forever known that a girl took care of business. And even in those days, that was not considered cool for a girl to be able to take care of business. So you'll have to read the story. It's in the Judges. But Barak and his people prevailed over an army three times their size. It wasn't a pretty fight, but they finished it. And that's what we're talking about here. The Christian life is not always pretty. But sometimes we've got to slog it out to the finish. One of the best examples in this church of someone who knows how to run a marathon is Ainsley. Now, I don't think Ainsley's ever run a marathon, but she's one of the most disciplined kids I've ever met. And she works so diligently in school, and anything she set her mind to, she was disciplined with. So I know that when she goes to school, she's not going to be afraid of the work, But there will be young people in that school that do not have the discipline Ainsley has. So Ainsley, I'm going to ask you to be a Deborah and take some of those kids in hand and say, we're going to slog together to the finish line. The Bible also tells us that when we have our clouds of witnesses, that we have to lay aside every weight that clings to us. And I would say the greatest weight for the Christian church is the fear of irrelevancy. There are so many people who say, we don't need the church anymore. The church is irrelevant. We walk into some churches and we see very few people in worship and more out on the golf course that are in church. And we can get very discouraged and think that our work does not matter. And it's a great weight that drags on the church. But I want to tell you, every time we plant hope in somebody, we are not irrelevant. There was a woman in my former church who was imprisoned for 21 years for a crime she did commit. And the church did not forget her, but in Christ's name, visited with her almost weekly, sent her packages, sent her letters, then started talking to the other young women in the prison and would send gifts every year to these young women and slip a message of hope in there. And every year, it seemed, the prison authorities gave us more problems when we tried to do that. And every year there were more restrictions. And this little church would have to raise money because every package had to be exactly the same. We couldn't vary from that, so we had to buy things that were exactly the same. One time, the ladies went in with all these gifts, left them, and went back a few weeks later and found them sitting in an office, and had to then push to distribute these things. So it was never easy to minister. That woman is now out of prison and home and able to function because the church was there when everybody else wrote her off. If you think our job is irrelevant, that's a weight that we have to get rid of. All the work we do has relevance for people, and especially those who have no hope. The other weight is the burden of success. We are in a culture that's a numbers game. And if we have a lot of numbers, that's success. And I find myself getting trapped in that understanding. I went to an event at another church recently, and I did a head count. You know, we pastors do that, so we do head counts. And I noticed there were very few, and the programming about the fact that there were so many out there that were not inside that church hearing this wonderful program. And somebody who was there with me said to me later, you know, I was really fretting about that, and then I realized, but I'm here. And what's being said is ministering to me, and I don't want to lose that. Let's shed that weight. If one person comes to Jesus, if one person's life turns around because of our influence, then that's one more person won for the kingdom. We don't have to be a success in human eyes. As long as we are faithful and slog on, it might not be pretty at times, but we want to keep on with Christ in this race. And we are told to look to Jesus. Everybody wrote Jesus off. Think about that. At the end of his life, everybody wrote him off. One of his closest friends, Judas, wrote him off and sold him out. The other friends ran away. No one stood up to defend him. Those thousands that he preached to were not around when he was on trial for his life. They all wrote him off. And yet he's seated on the throne of the heavenlies. So the next time someone says, you should write off this Christian thing and this Christian walk, remember there's someone on the throne who everybody else wrote off, and is watching us and giving us the strength that we need to walk, to run, to do the things that he asks us to do in this life. We might only influence one person. We might only make a difference in one life, but that life is infinitely precious to God. So I encourage you today, if you wanted to give up, don't. Slog toward that finish line. There's so many people that have lost hope in this world, and the only people that can give them that hope is the Church of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? I believe that, that we are purveyors of hope. And we're not going to stop until that day when the King of Kings and Lord of Lords calls us all to his eternal home.